Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 122 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment, starting with the latest and greatest in gaming, Cyberpunk 2077. And then we'll talk about some more of the aftermath of the big Warner Brothers HBO Max decision. And Disney had a massive event unveiling a ton for Star Wars and Marvel. Then we'll move over into tech, and we've got a huge hack affecting many businesses and government agencies, some Starship news, and robots. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
All right, and here we are with episode 122, and we could just jump into essentially our first topic for the week, as this is a very busy week, and I know you got to get in some gaming time right after I think we were done recording the last episode. You were downloaded with Cyberpunk, and I don't know, what are the thoughts?
Initially, I don't have as much criticism as what appears to be the rest of the world. I'm enjoying it so far. Granted, I don't get to log in the hours that some other people do. So, I mean, there are tons of reports of it being buggy, of it crashing, of it. And I'm not denying that it might be happening to some. In the limited time frames I get to play it, doesn't happen to me. It looks spectacular. So far, the game's fun. It's shooting can be a little bit better. There's it's not a perfect game. It's not flawless, but I mean, I enjoy it. I see a lot of the complaints coming from PS4 and Xbox One owners, and I mean, I can see their gripes. Okay, like I get it, guys. Like, you didn't get the day one release. You know, well, you can't really be complaining about day one games if you don't have the day one release that it was basically made for. You know, like, they did y'all a solid by even giving y'all the option to fucking play this game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, like, you're lucky you're playing it before Christmas. Like, this was a gift to you. Consider yourself a beta tester. Like, they were pretty transparent that they hit snags along the way. They had to delay the game. They was not ready to go. I don't know. You're just an expensive beta at this point.
Well, I mean, we've had that discussion. I'm not a big fan of that model of making people being, you know, like, paid, you know, pay for beta testers. Like, it didn't work for me in Destiny. It you know, Anthem, bah. Like, yeah. there's plenty of games that pissed me off and made me feel like I wasted a big chunk of money. Don't necessarily feel that way yet with Cyberpunk.
I don't know. I guess maybe I would give them more leeway because they're also the first, like, major title to the new consoles trying to hit all of the 4K, trying to hit every aspect of next-gen gaming.
This game uses every aspect of the Series X. So for you to run it on a essentially 8-year-old tech, like, you know, I don't understand exactly what you expect. Like, it seems like, yes, they, like, you want it to be playable, so, like, the bugs and the crashing for sure are huge complaints, but then you have people complaining about, like, graphics and I see it all over the social media, like, in these video game groups that I'm part of, and it still even blows my mind with as much people as complaining it. You still have, like, people chiming in on the group, like, hey guys, thinking about picking up Cyberpunk this week. What do you guys think? And it's like, have you not seen the fucking 4 days of just horrendous, horrendous fucking ass vomit people are putting in the comment sections on this fucking game? Like, you really need to start, like, it's gotta be trolls. I'm sorry. Like, I can't imagine that there's that many morons that consider themselves gamers that are just like, haven't heard anything about this game yet, guys. Should I buy it? What do you think? You know,
like, I don't know. I've seen plenty of people say that it's been enjoyable, that they've been enjoying the game. So I think, yeah, everybody's just maybe a little hypercritical, and I get it. I don't know.
I think the people, the same people that are being hypercritical are the same asshats that say they wait till April to buy the system because I don't buy first gen because I wait for the bugs to get worn out. Like, well, then why'd you buy this fucking game? Like, you're the same douche that says that, you know, we're all fools for buying day one releases because you're going to get the system for the same price and it's not going to have any of the hardware glitches. Like, I'm so smart. I'm so better than you. And then you buy this fucking next gen game and wonder why it's crashing on you and shit. Like, get a fucking life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the glitches that I've heard are like incredibly comical. Like,
well,
yeah. Breasts and dong sticking out from clothes. Yeah, I mean, and
well, the simple fact that we have like unlimited video game dongs for like.
I mean,
like I remember the days where you got hair color, eye color, nose shape, and then like maybe chin shape and ear shape. That's what you got. You got the five, and that was your character body size. Like, you got fat or skinny. That's all you got.
I can't believe. I honestly still just can't wrap my head around the fact that there are just countless like video game memes of cyberpunk penis size and stuff, and it's like I just don't understand why. Like, why do we need to go to that point? Why does this need to be?
We're trying to be inclusive, bro. We're trying to be inclusive. You can make your character however you feel inside you are.
It's just
proper pronouns and everything.
But you could just, like, I don't know, not show the dongs. Like, you don't.
What is the fun in that? Is it bad that when I first got to the penis selection, I went, you know, it starts at default. So there is no medium. It's default. Like, yeah. So you, I guess human average is default. Then you go small and it's like, it barely shrinks up. It's like, you know, like, it barely shrinks. And then you go to big and it like barely gets that much bigger. It's like, you know, like you would think it would have like a slide bar.
you'd think so. I said that I thought just to make like every, you know, 15-year-old who picks this game up on day one feel inadequate, that the smallest size should have still been like a knee scraper.
Baby forearm.
Like it should have still like really make that 15-year-old think like, oh my God, is that where I'm supposed to be right now?
You will never shower in a public shower ever again because of cyberpunk.
And like, if they're not going to go with that, I also felt that as you choose the larger penis size, that should come with a negative character trait.
You lose, yeah, like, you lose attributes. You lose like personality.
Really, like,
you
really put people in a dilemma, and they should be gathering that data to find out how many people intentionally chose a small penis, so they could start with a little more strength.
We're going to get analytics on this, for sure. We're going to get analytics on this. How many percentage of the country thinks they have, you know, goes for the big? You know, what's percentage of cut and uncut? Because that's an option. You can have the penis of your dreams. You know, it is insane that we're at this point in video games, and like now I'm afraid to create a female character just to see where the guys, because you know that's the usual MO is like the dudes make all the female characters. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I'm so glad it's not like an MMO where it's just like, you know, real avatars just walking with dicks and tits out everywhere. Yeah. It's so weird.
And I don't know. Can you? I just can't even fathom myself going back to my teenage days and like this having this level of customization, this level of like just raw, like just casual nudity in a game. Like, I can't think of it.
You know, I'm 40 like, and I don't know how I feel about this.
My 9-year-old daughter, if she gets into gaming in 5 years from now and she's a teenager, like, I don't know, like, how many video game dongs is she going to be exposed to before, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want this to be a thing.
Well, I took a Snapchat picture of my character and his dong, and I put it on my Snapchat story, and, like, instantly I had, like, six girls I went to high school with, all moms. Like, what is that? What game is that? Like, you know, oh, it's Cyberpunk. It just came out tonight. Like, she's, oh, like, my God, my son wants that game. How do I?
Oh, my God. Like, it's under the Christmas tree right now.
I know. Like, everyone asks me, is there a way to turn that off? Is there settings? Like, so many freaked out moms I got messages from just worried about virtual dongs in their child's life. Rightly so. Rightly so.
It's I don't know where games are going, but it's definitely an interesting take that they went. I don't know if it's because of dongs or just the glitches, but, like, you know, Project Red stock dropped like 29% since the launch of this. You'd think this would be a big plus for them, and it's been nothing but hits for them. Bad reviews, bad critic ratings, bad glitches, lots of dongs equals a negative stock price. Who would have known?
Yeah, they've been attacking this. I saw an article that it's got a worse Metacritic score than Anthem did. And then, like, it's like, oof. Like, Anthem's famously, you know, famous for dropping, yeah, like, one of the worst releases ever. But like we said, there's a lot of people enjoying it. I'm so far so good.
I'd say that a lot of people in the group, in the community, have been enjoying it. I haven't seen a ton of negative criticism, but most people are just enjoying the memes. And
I'm still quite impressed with the way the system runs, though. They just updated Destiny to be enhanced, X1X enhanced, and it's so crisp and it's so smooth. Like, I gave up on Destiny. I didn't even want to play it really anymore. And then I fired it up and I was just like, oh my God, this looks beautiful. Like,
yeah.
This is amazing. Maybe I play this just to bask in how great it looks, you know, like, fuck the storyline. Yeah, it's a good time for gaming, you know, penises and all.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. Let's do a quick recap from last week. You know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about the HBO Max deal, where, you know, Warner Brothers announced all of their 2021 movies going to HBO Max. And we were just kind of getting the news of some of the backlash, Legendary going after them in a lawsuit. And now, you know, a lot of the directors are coming out and just really sounding off on this deal. You get the Dune director who does an article with Variety magazine and just talks about how, like, he found out about this deal when he was seeing, like, poster, like, screenshots and trailer video clips of his movie in, like, promotion for HBO Max.
Yeah.
And in these articles that were talking about HBO Max now having all the greatest movie content in 2021 and everything else.
He's just like, excuse me? Excuse me? Like, it's so messed up.
This is a director that definitely signed on to do two movies, broke up the Dune book into two movies, and did it in just, like, epic format filming-wise, as far as these massive desert landscapes and filming on set. And, you know, it was really, I think everybody's looking forward to this movie. Anybody who's in the sci-fi world is looking forward to this movie. And he is absolutely not happy about what's going on here. You've got Christopher Nolan, who has come out and just talked about that this is really just a terrible and dangerous sign for the industry as a whole. And he talked about, yes, it does affect guys like him, guys like, I think he even mentions Ben Affleck and Zev, but, like, those people are going to be fine. But he's like, really, like, people are just keep talking about the theaters, but it's not just the theaters when they did this straight to streaming thing. It's also the at home sales, right? All the DVDs, Blu-rays, you know, 4K movies that get sold. Nobody's buying those anymore if you go straight to streaming. Nobody's, like, it's an entire industry. It's an entire whole, like, significant economic sectors that disappear when you go straight to streaming.
Well, and they make the point that, you know, when you have a subscription-based model, you have as much money to spend on your projects as you have subscribers, minus whatever profit you want to give your shareholders. So all that budget gets divvied up, you know, not evenly, but it's a pie, you know what I'm saying? And every project that they want to do for that year gets a slice of that pie. That pie is a finite size, though, because of the subscription base. With the theater option, that pie is indefinite. You know, it's, hey, we could make a billion on this nothing movie, or we could make nothing on this movie we spent $500 million to make. We don't know. Let the free market decide. And you let your movies and your future budgets of future projects ride on that uncertain amount of money that is going to be made at the box office. You know, so people are willing to gamble a little more and invest a little more in these types of projects because the payoff could be a lot higher. Subscription based, you know, here's what your budget is. Here's how much we're paying you. Make the fucking movie. Go to fuck home.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about the fact that like Screen Actors Guild and they're really going to have to get in on renegotiating these type of contracts, these type of deals. But Christopher Nolan's definitely very concerned as the ripple effects, not just for AMC and the big theaters that are now going to have to take a big hit, but also, you know, all of these companies that sell the DVDs, that package that stuff, that distribute that. That's another big hit. You've got, you know, obviously the people who work at the theaters, work in the arts kind of delivery support systems. That's all going to take a huge hit. And he's just saying the ripple effects are like they're being undercut because people are just looking at it.
And us as consumers are, you know, going to lose out too. I mean, Netflix just raised my rate. I know I just got a warning on my Netflix rate. Disney Plus is raising their rates. You know, that's really all that's going to happen is if we want the same kind of production level that Hollywood has brought us for the last 100 years, we're all going to have to pony up, you know, a certain amount a month. And if you weren't an avid moviegoer and you only just went and saw a couple movies a year, you're going to be subsidizing guys like me who go see a movie or two every week. Because I'm going to watch the shit out of everything on these streaming services then. And if you're just a casual watcher, you're going to have to compensate for that average.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know where the direction that's heading. But you know, many of these directors, many of these the industry individuals are starting to really sound off. I don't know if it's in any way going to amount to any level of pressure that matters.
The director of Dune was Denis Villeneuve. Villeneuve. Yeah. He wrote a really good piece on the effects of this. Like if go to the show notes and click that article and read his actual words, cause it was way thought out and well written. I, if you care about this subject, definitely read what he wrote.
Yeah. His op-ed piece that he did for Variety, was really good. And then there's, like I said, there's other. We already talked about Christopher Nolan, but even guys like, you know, Judd Apatow and others, other kind of leading individuals in the industry are also saying negative things about this kind of unilateral decision here by Warner Media. So I don't know.
And while,
probably nothing's going to change.
And while everybody was looking over at HBO Max saying, fuck you, Disney just took a giant fucking announcement. It was like, fuck those guys. Star Wars.
So you know, you knew that some things were going to come out of Investor Day, Disney Investor Day. You knew some things were going to come out, but the depth at which they went, I think, even surprised like industry insiders, people that get paid to talk about this stuff, not just idiots like us.
Yeah, it was staggering. It was staggering. Like. It was. It almost felt like an infomercial where they just show you a knife that can cut through everything. You're just like, is this going to keep going a lot? Like, holy shit, another one, more free. You get two when you buy one.
Yeah,
they just kept going, man.
Yeah, so you know, I don't even think it's worth recapping everything that
we got a little bit of a list to go down with some really cool news.
Yeah, some of the biggest ones, obviously, I think, hey, big surprise, they're doing an Ahsoka show coming out of the Mandalorian spinoff. I think
everybody, yeah, you don't cast Rosario Dawson for like two episodes a year.
Yeah, you already spent the time and effort to CGI that weird headpiece and everything else for her. Like, all right, you might as well get some use out of it. You go stretch it out to another season on another spinoff. No surprise that you're going to get that that character in a live action spinoff. You know, they also have the Rangers of the New Republic show. Let's see, what else do they have? They've got the Rogue Squadron coming out as well. More on the Obi-Wan Kenobi show.
A droid spinoff. Well, the Obi-Wan news is pretty cool. Like, there's not a lot of people have hate on Hayden Christensen, but the fact that they're going to have Anakin actually come back and play a role in the Obi-Wan show as Vader, and maybe you get to see Vader take his helmet off more than, you know, once when he's a, you know, old potato head.
Yeah. I think it's awesome to bring him back. I've got no issues with him, and I think it's
great that I have him tattooed on my hand.
Yeah, so yeah, I hope you have no issues with him.
Literally.
Yeah, and then you know, they're bringing back.
If I ever did hate him, though, I could say I wipe my ass with dude every day.
That's good. No, I like that.
But that's not the case. Like, well, I'm going to keep that one in my back pocket.
Yeah, keep that one in case he gets caught in some like sex ring or something weird later. You've got to just like disavow him.
Yeah. If he gets hashtag me too'd anytime soon.
All right. Well,
yeah, I can't believe I just realized that right now. It's been on my hand for like 5 years. So I just kind of put that together right now.
And then, you know, you also get Diego Luna is coming back and reprising his role from Rogue One in the Star Wars Andor show that's going to come to Disney Plus in 2022. You know, a lot of this stuff spans all the way out to 2023. So none of this stuff, or not none of it, but a lot of this is pushed back into 2022 at a minimum. But, you know, just so much content coming out of the Star Wars universe, and some of it is going to break the timeline of the Skywalker saga, the Skywalker time frame. Most of it's still within it, right? A Star Wars Lando show, which they only mentioned that they're doing the Lando. Who knows whether it's going to be, you know, Billy Dee, or it's going to be Donald Glover playing it. Hopefully it's Donald Glover.
It's got to be Donald Glover.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a Donald Glover. Maybe still get some, I don't know, play out some futures, or maybe it's just old Lando sitting back telling stories at a bar, and then it flashes back to Donald Glover all the time.
I'll take
like,
them
you know
both.
What I mean? Like, yeah, if you could fit them both in there, and it's really just it's Billy Dee sitting at a bar telling stories, and you just flash back to Donald Glover doing shit like that. I'll take that.
All
be
day.
A good time.
All day.
So in the end, you know, you got that. It's just so much coming through, and I don't remember off the top of my head which one's the animated. They've also got an animated Clone Wars spinoff. I think that one's The Bad Batch.
Yep.
And then they have an anime-style one coming from like an actual Japanese anime studio, Star Wars Visions. So they got something for everybody coming out of this.
And that's just the Star Wars section. We haven't even gotten into the Marvel news that they dropped.
Yeah. I think they did Star Wars first, so you started getting all the headlines that day, everything coming out of the Star Wars camp, and then you get, you know,
there's
Marvel.
More.
And then Marvel, Kevin Feige gets come out and say, you know, all right, Kathleen Kennedy, sit down, hold my beer, and let's do this. And yeah, it's everything, a lot of what we expected, right? Just new trailers for a lot of things that we knew were in the horizon. You get a new trailer and an actual release date for Falcon and Winter Soldier, which, okay, looks okay. I actually still have not been too excited about that one coming our way. The trailer
has you get a good Loki trailer
looks interesting. Like that's we knew the show's coming out. You really haven't seen anything from it. That trailer that series looks more interesting to me than I thought it was going to be in the first place. So yeah, definitely Loki. You get
another WandaVision. Another one. That one's got to come out sometime soon.
They just keep stretching those trailers out for that one, repackaging the same clips because it continues to get pushed back. So you definitely see all that. They did release some information even about some of the shows that they didn't quite have trailers for.
Yeah, you're getting a War Machine show. You're getting a Secret Invasion. So now that one's close to my goddamn heart. Like, that is one of the greatest Marvel events they ever did in comic books. They better not fuck this up, because there's so much you could do with this, especially in the MCU with Endgame wrapping up and things like that. There's just so much you could do with a good Secret Invasion story that I was mad that they weren't doing it in a movie form at first. But then when I really think about it, if you really wanted to do it justice, you kind of have to do it in a TV show form. So I'm kind of excited for this one.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting.
Again, make my comic collection worth even more money. Like, just keep dropping these movie versions of everything, all the literature I have, please.
I'm hoping that they do good with Secret Invasion. I'm not a fan of the way the curls played out in Captain Marvel. I'm not excited for that.
We get a third time's the charm for a Fantastic Four movie. Here we go, folks. Let's try it again.
All the speculation on who they should cast for all these things are already flying all over the place. Who knows?
Who I want? I want fucking, what's his name? Jim from The Office.
Yeah, John Krasinski has been, like, there's been so many, like, fan art of him playing Mr. Incredible, and it does look like he'd be phenomenal.
Like, man, he's got the attitude for it. He's got the build. He's the right age now. Be perfect. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, no, he would be good in that role for sure. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure they'll probably bring in somebody pretty big to try to get some hope and faith behind that franchise and behind that Fantastic Four, which is been a bit elusive for Marvel in the past.
I don't know why, but I'm dying for John Hamm to come in the MCU. Give me a John Hamm Doctor Doom, and I'm fucking elated. Like, I am super pumped. I'm a huge John Hamm fan. I think that dude could do anything he wants.
I can see it. You get a little bit about She-Hulk. A little news coming in around there. That Mark Ruffalo will be involved in it in more of like a cameo role, but he will be in it. They also shared that Tim Roth's Abomination will be in the She-Hulk as well. So they're going to bring him back from 2008 as Abomination again. Interesting there.
Yeah, you get a few, like them just like kind of teasing everybody like, hey, we got the rights to Daredevil back. Maybe we might do something with him. I don't know. Yeah. you see all the Marvel fans just geeking out.
Yeah, there's so much in speculation. Nothing has more speculation than Spider-Man. Like, I feel like almost every just unfounded rumor flies at Spider-Man. And then they just toss in a bunch of like actually confirmed rumors. Like,
well, I'm almost convinced that if you write enough fake headlines of something that they might just do it. So if we just constantly spam the internet with fake fucking articles of a possible Spider-Verse with Garfield and Maguire and everybody else in it, let's just shit all over the internet with fake articles about that, and then maybe the studio will do it. And then if they do it, then we're right and we're geniuses.
Yeah, well, you get confirmation that Alfred Molina is coming back as Dr. Octopus.
He was great as Doc Ock, though.
He was
There's certain roles that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, dude's Doc Ock. What's his face? Is Kingpin forever now. Like, dude did such a great job in the Daredevil series.
From the Daredevil series.
Like you cast anybody else as Kingpin, go fuck yourself. I'm done. Like, there's just certain people that just nailed it. And, like, you got to let them have it, man. Argue with their agent. I don't give a fuck what you do in that room. Just make sure he's in it.
Yeah. Well, like, Molina, is coming from the original three Spider-Man movies. But then they've also confirmed that Jamie Foxx is going to return as Electro, which is now from the second set of Spider-Man movies from The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So you get that confirmed as well. It's like, geez, they are feeding these rumors.
They've rebooted the series enough times to where it's almost you kind of have to do a Spider-Verse, movie now. It's like you've rebooted it. Like, we have enough actual versions of Spider-Man to do this in live action,
So then, the interesting thing is, when they do that, they open it back up. And then I guess because Sony owns the rights to all of these, that when they're done playing with Marvel again and they break that contract, can they just constantly just bring new Spider-Man movies, just let all three of those Spider-Verses just continue in their own little realm that are independent of their own?
Spider loop and...
Yeah.
I've seen this movie before.
Every 6 months, yeah. Every 6 months you get a slightly different version of a Spider-Man movie.
How many times can I watch Uncle Ben die? That's what I want to know. How many times do I get to see an old man die?
Yeah, and then you've got to, you know, look at, you know, the drastic differences of Aunt May's, and some of those Peter Parker's definitely had a different life than the others.
Yeah. I'm not even you know it's bad in my head if I'm not even willing to say this right now. So I'm just gonna let that, I'm gonna let this one marinate in my brains. I'm not even gonna say it out loud.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, too much to cover without dragging on forever. I mean, that we didn't discuss everything. We might have even missed some big ones. I'm trying to make sure we covered all of the major movie announcements. If you know what we don't get, I still didn't see a release date for Black Widow.
Nope.
Or anything.
Nope.
we still don't know when anything's coming, except for really like a better idea of the Disney Plus slate.
And when's Disney Plus going to go 4K? You got HBO Max announcing 4K. What, like, when am I going to get, you know, 4K, I mean, 4K
that's why
Grogu's.
That's why they just raised the prices. So you know, they can go 4K before the I Am Groot show, which we didn't mention that one yet. They got the Groot show.
No. I geniusly trolled someone. I don't know if you've seen that in the Facebook group, but some foreign person with a really weird spelled name made a stupid comment about Groot, and I trolled him epically. You can go to the group to see that.
All right, and then I don't know. I think that's essentially all of.
That's the gist of it. We got plenty of articles for you to click in the show notes. So if you need to know more, click away.
Yeah, and there's dedicated recaps and things. In the end, most of the stuff you're waiting until 2020, late 22, a lot of it 2023 on the Disney, whether it's Star Wars or Marvel front. And we don't know anything about the theatrical release.
Some YouTuber half our age did a half-hour video on this if you really want to get into depth on it.
Absolutely. But these
two monkeys don't have time for none of that shit. So we're just giving you the low right now.
All right. And the last piece in entertainment that we really had on here was
shout out to our anime fans. We don't get too many anime stories.
Anime acquisition here with what is it? Is it Funimation?
Funimation is
acquiring Crunchyroll, I just don't see
this can't be good. This can't be good for consumers. It can't be good for consumers.
Because you've got Crunchyroll getting bought up by AT&T. Like, yeah, it says Funimation buys Crunchyroll as a headline, but that's owned by AT&T. I don't know. Is this just going to be more for HBO Max? Are they just going to keep just slapping things into HBO Max and keep stealing everything?
Yeah, and if you want to legally watch your anime, you're going to have to go to probably HBO Max now. They're going to have every like good bomb ass anime that is out there. Like that, these two companies basically put out 90% of everything that people watch with subtitles. Like, it's just, that's how it is. And for them to now own all of it and the rights to all of it, you know, it's never good when one company just has total control over a whole shit ton of things that you love. I'm still waiting for the floor to drop on Disney. Like I'm still just waiting for that mouse to just be like, look at, remember all this wonderful things of your childhood that we made that you love? Here, we're just going to crush it all now.
I need to correct myself before we get too far here, because I said it backwards, and I didn't pay very much attention to this. Crunchyroll was owned by AT&T. So AT&T sold out to Sony.
Yes.
Other way around.
Yes.
So maybe this doesn't get just jammed into HBO Max, but I don't know where this ends up at then, or I don't know what Sony's going to do with all the rights to this.
Well, and the thing with Crunchyroll is they had their own subscription service that didn't go successfully. Because people got to realize that if you're a big anime fan, you pirate that shit.
Yeah, like, you've been torrenting this since
day one.
Yeah, 2000. So
like, I'm probably like one of the five people on the planet that watches One Piece on Hulu. Like, it's just, they got them all on there, and I got Hulu, so I'd be watching it. You know, everybody else, they torrent that shit. They have their sites, because by the time especially if you're a dubbed anime fan, like it takes a while for those English voices to get overlaid. Like you gotta wait. So the subs, there's some companies out there that'll translate this shit and put it online really fucking fast after it airs in Japan. So if you ain't got time to wait and you want that new hotness, you're watching that on something .nguf.
All right, well, I think we can roll out of entertainment here.
Long live Pirate Bay.
You can go LimeWire.
Yeah, no. I do not miss the day of giving my fucking computer AIDS for the new Nickelback CD.
All right, well, let's move over to tech. And, you know, the first and biggest piece, and this is something that kind of trickled in throughout the week. It started with, you know, the big cybersecurity firm FireEye. They came out on Tuesday of last week that they had come under a cyber attack, a very, what they called, a highly sophisticated attack, most likely a nation state sponsored attack, which means like everybody just says Russia, right? That, whatever, nation state attack, got it. We know who you're talking about. It's Russia. And, you know, but FireEye is the cybersecurity firm that's supposed to protect everybody else, right? These are the people that have all the most sophisticated tools, that are an absolute like leader in this space as cybersecurity. And they announced that, you know, they were hit pretty hard by a very serious attack by what they called at the time a mainstream security mainstream vendor. And then it was a kind of a trickle as it came out. And by the time we hit the weekend, you find out the actual scope at which that like FireEye got rolled up in this. But it originated through SolarWind and got pushed out through this company. And SolarWind, this is something that most of this information is coming out today as we're recording this. I really wanted to do a deep dive, kind of educate my ignorant self on cybersecurity to find out exactly how this went down, to go not too deep in like the nuts and bolts.
I'm going to put a call into our white hat hacker. We might have to do a small cantina conversation on this.
Well, even in our group, over at the nerdcantina.com/community in the Facebook group, there were some pretty like sophisticated individuals who know what they're talking about, inside the cantina, talking about it, like sharing screenshots of like PowerPoint slides that talked about in depth how the attack happened, what the code strings were, that like there was some pretty in depth kind of discussion analysis, and it was over my head as far as like the depth that those nerds in our group were going into, but ultimately, you know, this company SolarWind is a company that absolutely supports and provide services. So SolarWind Orion provides services to all kinds of companies. Over 300,000 total customers, and we're talking about like actual company customers that support it. So out of the Fortune 500 companies, 425 of them use SolarWind, SolarWind Orion. All 10 telecom companies use it. All 5 branches of the military use SolarWind. Pentagon, State Department, NASA, all kinds of government agencies. You know, over the weekend, one of the first government agencies that you started to hear about this were the Commerce Department and the Treasury. U.S. Treasury had been hacked, and that's where you first started to hear about it. And then you found out how they got attacked and where they found it from, and it was through code actually getting put into SolarWind that again got pushed out to everybody through an update, and that created a backdoor into everybody's system. So SolarWind was the trusted company that all of these companies use. And they had essentially some bad malicious code put in there. Now, I'm sure in the weeks to come, we're going to find out where that code came from. My bet, I mean, that's a person. Like, that's somebody who brought did the cyber espionage thing. There was a Russian at home, you know, who just caught some dude cheating on his wife, gave him a thumbstick and said, go plug this in, and we're going to be good. Because in the end, it got into the actual source code that got from this company that got pushed out to these other groups. There's a human involved somewhere here.
Yeah, the amount of information that's going to probably come out of this over the next month is going to be kind of like scary level kind of shit, because this is pretty big. This is huge, and the implications that it could have, like, this wasn't somebody just fishing for information to sell, you know, or the ransomware attacks that we've been recently talking. This is espionage.
Yeah, absolutely. And the level, again, not me being a dummy who doesn't know really the full nuts and bolts, but from my understanding of it is that this gave a backdoor to essentially everybody who received this update, which again was a ton of major companies and everything else. And it provided a backdoor, but not just like a casual backdoor entry into kind of just ancillary parts of their system, but it gave them access to their command and control systems within whatever systems that they run, their servers that they run. So it gave whoever was actually accessing the exploits through this backdoor, they could absolutely control and access the entire server network.
My money says China, though. Like this to me, nah. this smells all of China.
Everything that I've seen that's come out is pretty like directly tying this to the known group. And
if you were as smart as China, that's exactly what they would want you to think.
Misdirect. Yeah. You know, just about everybody's coming out and saying that this is APT 29, which is a known group that is a nation state kind of government tied asset from Russia. So again, it's a very dangerous system. We still don't know at this point in time. It's just like this big wake up call. Everybody has to kind of see that the broad scope. This is like probably the largest, whether you want to call it governmental espionage or you can call it, I guess, you know, corporate espionage to some degree, whatever you want to call it. In the end, it is probably the largest attack that we know of at this point. And
what I've always said,
we don't
too,
know the extent of it.
When we've had these discussions, with this breaching every branch of our military and massive amounts of government programs, if we end up finding out that it was 100% provable a nation state, is this not an act of war?
Not.
Well, I don't see how, I mean, like the scale of this and the implications and the national security ramifications, if someone is knowingly doing this, this is peak Cold War type shit. And I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand how we're not going to be able to stop it with our eggheads. It's always going to be a mental race. Every government's going to try to be one step ahead of each other. At some point, the only way to stop this is the threat of physical force.
I mean, you start calling this war, then how many acts of war are we like actively right now taking on other countries? Probably all of them. Probably.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like scale has to have something to do with it. So, you know what I mean? The scale of it has to have some kind of weight in that thought process.
Yeah, you know? It does. You know, who knows? Again,
it's not like they breached one branch of government. It's not like they breached, you know, just a department. We're talking every branch of our military, multiple branches of government. Like this, the ramifications of what they could have been fishing for and what they could be finding in the scale of the fishing expedition is just too big to not say, you know, that it doesn't deserve at least the thought process of, is this something that we should be taking military force due to? You know, it's like the little kid that pokes you.
Thought process for sure. Whether it's military action or like sanctions and other diplomatic kind of tools. But yeah, absolutely. The thought should, I'm sure. And I'm sure it is actually happening in like policymaker rooms. But all I can say, I mean, without just over speculating on like governmental actions, all I can say is in the end, when you look at like the cybersecurity war, I'll just say the hackers are winning.
Oh,
right?
For like, sure.
Like the hackers for are sure. winning this war of cybersecurity. When you look at like, you know, one of the most notable cybersecurity firms, FireEye, is like, not only did they just fail their clients in not catching it, but they got caught up in this all the same.
Yeah.
And
well, and like this, it just kind of like brought like a funny like skit in my fucking head of like, you know, FireEye being like the security guy and, you know, the client. It'd be like, if you're in the meeting, it'd be like if there was like a mob meeting the day after John Wick left, and the guy's just like looking around the room. One guy's missing an eye, another guy's missing a hand. He's like, "What the fuck happened here, guys? Like, I thought you were here to protect me. I don't know, boss. You fucking, I got fucking stabbed in the eye. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, like what did Fireeye come to all these people and say, like, hey, you know, like you were supposed to be our wall. You were our firewall. We pay you all this money." And it was like, I don't know what to tell you. I got fucking stabbed in the eye. And like, now I'm all fucked up too.
Yeah. I don't know what the end outcome of this is going to be, but it's alarming for sure. And I don't know. I think we'll find out more. One thing that I'm sure that they're digging deep into is how did this ever originate from SolarWind? Like, how did SolarWind become this, I don't know, you know, this vector, like this unwilling participant in this that just infected all of their clients, everybody that uses their services. How did that happen? Like I said, I'm just guessing it was some unfaithful dude. Like unfaithful dude who slept with a Russian at the bar, you know, in the bathroom at the bar, and this is how it happened.
I just can't picture solving this. You know, it's like all the nerds ganging up on like the town bully, and they came up with this whole elaborate system to where the bully couldn't beat them up. But you know how you stop them? You get your hand on one of them, and you beat the living shit out of them in front of everybody, and then everybody else just kind of stops, like, oh yeah, that's right, that's why we didn't fuck with him before, it's because if he gets his hands on us, he beats the shit out of us. Yeah, let's just go back to the old way where we don't fuck with dude anymore.
Well, and this is why the government doesn't call meatheads like us for advice on how to deal with cybersecurity issues. So let's move on from our speculation here and speculate some more, I guess, but on a different topic, something we maybe know a little more about, and that's this world of Facebook. We've got the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, and multiple states, many states went into lawsuit against Facebook, attempting to get them to divest and break them up from Instagram, WhatsApp, really going after these antitrust, uncompetitive practices of Facebook. And I think it's a good step. It's a good step to take. I've said.
I don't understand how WhatsApp gets ringed into all this. Like, Instagram and Facebook have very similar features. They, you know, you can see a monopolization forming by them owning, you know, two of the largest social media conglomerates that share photos, comments, likes, you know, all the stuff. They're similar in many aspects. Like, they really need to sell WhatsApp? Like, why? Because they own Messenger? Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't understand how WhatsApp is round up all there, because there's other messaging, encrypted messaging programs, Signal and a few others, you know. So I just wonder if, like, yeah, this is them overreaching and saying, you know, just a big fuck you to Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. I actually don't understand the main reason why WhatsApp is a part of this, other than, you know, it was just a big Facebook acquisition. As far as when they purchased it, it was a big deal that the FTC just said, meh, whatever, you go for it, Facebook, do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Same as they did with Instagram, which is why I think ultimately these lawsuits are going to lose. You know, that in the end, in order to enforce this divestment or to force kind of this situation at this point in time, like, you know, the FTC had their chance to not allow Facebook to buy Instagram as a, you know, antitrust, non-competitive, don't allow them to become a monopoly in social media. They had the chance to do that, and they didn't. They haven't enforced any antitrust in the tech sector at all. And then now, for them to come after the fact, after they've already approved these acquisitions, to force them to divest now, I think it's tough, because the government has to prove that they're doing actual harm to the consumers. And harm in this realm, in an antitrust realm, comes from like price gouging, having completely unregulated pricing and no competition in pricing. These are free fucking services. So in the end, it's going to be hard to prove that there is harm to an actual consumer. I can make that case. Somebody could sway me that they're doing harm just because of,
well, I think their big case, I think their big case is that it stifles innovation. You know, so if if they just keep buying up their competition and either utilize the tech or shelve the tech so that nobody else can have it, you're hamstringing innovation in this country by not letting these companies flourish and maybe go off in a different path that Facebook wouldn't necessarily see or do. You know, I think that's a big part of why this needs to be known, not just consumer protection, but also for the sake of the United States economy.
So I believe that there's potential space for that, that the outcome of this might not be the actual divestment of Instagram or whatever else, but it might serve as like establishing the precedent that like Facebook can't continue to buy out emerging companies, and they can't like live this Silicon Valley life of essentially like startups just exist to be the intellectual farm for all these bigger tech companies that just eat everybody up.
Yeah, Silicon Valley is like the minor leagues for Facebook and Amazon and Google.
Yeah, so I think, you know, maybe that's something that actually kind of emerges out of this. I think it's going to be hard for them to essentially rewrite history and enforce something that they should have enforced in the first place when these acquisitions happened, and force them to actually divest.
I'm looking forward to the government hearing where they're just like, yeah, we were too stupid to understand this when we allowed sucked. It. We kind of had some really old people sitting in these chairs around that time, and we're still really old and don't get this, but we're told we shouldn't like this.
Yeah. I think in the end that suit's going to lose. Looking at some analysis from other like tech sector experts and stuff that I've read and listened to, it's also kind of a pretty agreed consensus that the actual divestment is going to be really tough to do.
It all depends on how far it goes, because if it hits the courts and it goes to, say, the Supreme Court, conservatives don't really like Silicon Valley.
No, and
if it goes down that route, it is not going to fare well for these tech companies.
Yeah, and a part of some like the lawsuit is, you know, they've got some emails that I'm sure like they're just ready to on video conference again grill Zuckerberg and stuff like that, with the emails coming out of the extremely higher up, and I think there were some even coming from it wasn't Mark Zuckerberg himself, but the three-letter acronym type people at the C-suite level, talking about like back when Google Plus was trying to be a social media company and trying to emerge, and Facebook was trying to make the decision on whether they can allow people to they were looking to ban untagging in pictures, because they drive so much traffic just from notifications when people get tagged in pictures. And you used to be able to untag yourself. So that way, like, if you didn't want to keep getting notifications and you didn't want some, like, no, I don't want people to find me in this picture, you used to be able to untag yourself. And there were emails from Facebook saying like, oh, well, Google Plus can still untag. Like, it benefits us for people not to untag, but let's hold off rolling out that feature until we've fully crushed Google Plus out of this market. And then we can do controversial stuff again, but we're not doing anything controversial until Google Plus is gone. And like, there's emails that flat out say that. So like, when you talk about like uncompetitive practices and like really like holding people by the balls, like that's the exact example, right? They've crushed every other social media company to the point that there is no competition. So when they do things for the sake of consumer privacy, like, hey, we don't care that you don't want people to tag you in photos, bogus ass photos that you don't want to be a part of, like, we're still going to allow it to happen because that drives notifications. Notification drives interaction. Interaction is what is the name of the game. And like, we don't have a choice but to deal with it. It's either social media, it's either Facebook or nothing when it comes to social media. So I think like that stuff shows consumer harm to some degree. And those are interesting emails. Those are interesting conversations that they're bringing in this lawsuit. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. But I think in the end they lose.
It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be long, long conferences and long, long court cases if this ended up going through. And at the end, I just hope that when the smoke clears, there's Tom writing on a whiteboard saying, "I told you so. You didn't know how good you had it."
You don't know. Tom is in Mark Zuckerberg's basement right now. Just been chained up for years.
Like a gimp. Leather mask on in a case somewhere.
All right. Well, let's do a couple space news. Yeah, just one of the more interesting things that happened this week in space world was the Starship SN8 prototype that spectacularly exploded after its flight. But in the end, they did the high altitude test of the Starship, and you know, everybody was just showing like the videos of it landing and just erupting into just a gigantic ball of fire. And it was spectacular to watch. And to most people, they would look at that as a failure. Elon Musk immediately came out and talked about what a great success that launch was. And anybody who like, you know, Elon Musk is no stranger to science. Like, failure is a part of the thing. Like, you have to expect this. And in the end, while people are looking at the landing as a failure because it came in a little fast and ruptured the fuel tanks, but it still flew to 40,000 feet. It still flipped itself to the side. It still guided itself down and landed on a dime. It just landed a little hot, but it still but it still came directly on its bed. And like, and this is a gigantic flying corn silo. Like, a massive beast. And, you know, they did a lot of what they wanted, got all of the data they wanted, because it's not like it blew up on takeoff. They got all of the intended data from this flight, and they just didn't get to salvage this one.
And it's, you could just like hear Elon and like the thing, like, see, I told you we shouldn't put people in it yet. Fucking win, man.
So, I mean, he's got the right attitude as far as, yeah, just purely looking at it from a scientific data gathering point. Like, yeah, maybe you're salvaging it might have saved you a couple million dollars, but that's all right. Like,
you don't learn nothing from salvage. Like, let it ride. Take all them data points. I've always said, though, like, we've gotten like so much faith in our like egghead geniuses that we almost kind of like expect NASA to do everything in like on a one shot. You know, like, design me the most complicated thing in human history and get it right the first time. You know, if anything blows up and anything fucking fucks up, we're going to write articles on it and say you suck and do all this shit. And it's like, nah, man, this is the process. No, this is the process.
I genuinely think that Elon is not mad about SN8, prototype 8 exploding. What I will say he probably is pissed about is yesterday SN9, the one that they're building now to like literally just like listed and fell over against like support structures in construction. So like there's always cameras and people taking pictures of the site that they're building these at. And like there's pictures of it erected, and then there's pictures of it like leaning against the building, and then there's pictures of it now like just falling over. So you know somebody screwed up. Like that's just an actual screw.
Someone forgot to put the kickstand down.
Yeah. So that one's probably hurting his soul a little bit. But the actual prototype launch, high altitude launch, was a big success. And I'm super excited for this flight when it actually goes out into orbit, this gigantic corn silo, and eventually out on the moon.
Evil genius rich people news.
Evil genius rich people. Oh, wait, which one are you talking about? You talking about Virgin Galactic or
Amazon? Well, I guess, yeah, we got three of them. We got three of them. Yeah.
The other high altitude space flight, the flight space plane that Virgin Galactic, they had to abort unexpectedly from a test flight that was supposed to exceed 40,000 feet. Once it reached 40,000 feet, it had to make an unexpected cancellation of the flight. They weren't able to complete. The rocket motor didn't properly fire, and they had to land. Came with some stock backlash, them getting hit, as far as like that's just an outright failure from something that at this point in time they are expected to be exceeding that level of testing. And then they also announced today that they're no longer doing any more testing until 2021, and at least shutting down for, I think it was like a month and a half or 2 months due to COVID. I mean, I tend to say like COVID just sounds like a good excuse for you trying to figure shit out that you just failed on this last test launch.
Yeah, no, it's funny though, because like you see they abort it, and it's like we just said, you know, Elon just lets that shit blow up just so he could say, hey, this is a dude that made a rocket, you know, a flamethrower, you know, to where his Virgin's like, no, you better save that rocket. You better bring that back so we can fix it.
Well, those are space planes. They're actually piloted, so you gotta bring that thing down safely. Yeah, theirs is a different. They're in a different level of testing than just the unmanned rocket tests. So in the end, they're shutting it down. Now we can go over to the other billionaire, crazy genius. And that's Amazon. There's Zooks, a robo taxi. These robo taxis that are rolling out, and they just did some demonstrations. There were like some scene out on streets, and the Zooks CEO is saying that they're looking at rolling these things out in, I think it was like Las Vegas and San Francisco. It's a fully autonomous. Like there's not a place for a human being to drive. It is just a little carriage of a vehicle. It's bi-directional. It can drive itself forward or reverse. I guess it's insignificant. Like there is no front, there is no back. Literally you sit facing each other. There's just two bench seats that sit facing each other as you can ride in it. It can travel up to 75 miles per hour and for 16 hours of runtime before charging. And again, it has no steering wheel. It has no human controls in it. It's in an entirely autonomous ride share system that they are looking rolling out here again soon in San Francisco and Las Vegas.
It's coming. Like we do these stories all the time. Like it's on the verge. I just can't wait till you're going to hit that point where you are driving down the highway and you look over and there's going to be nobody in the front seat. It's just going to blow your mind. And I'm just waiting for that day.
And we look at the cost of like electric vehicles and say that's not really tenable. But when you start creating vehicles like this, where it's really just a frame on some wheels, some batteries, and that's about it, and a computer system, right? Like when you don't have to build an actual like steering wheel and drivetrain, and you don't have to build transmissions anymore, you don't have to build engines anymore. Like you can get to once you get to like the actual scaling portion of this, you could churn out vehicles like this all day and relatively cheaply. It's where it can disrupt Uber and traditional taxis and everything else because you can actually churn out these vehicles at a pretty competitive price. And then the operating costs can be much lower. And I don't know. In the end, I think this is the right way to go for like public transportation and like ride sharing. It's interesting. Like when you look at them, it looks like an old school carriage with, a double door in the middle, benches just sitting there facing each other in this little tiny bubble that doesn't in any way look like a car. And they've completely redesigned what kind of taxi service looks like.
I mean, I've always thought one of the most interesting aspects of self-driving automobiles and the autopilot is the fact that you pay anywhere from $30,000 to $80,000 for your vehicle. You drive it maybe, 3 hours a day? 4 hours a day sometimes, like for 20 hours a day, your large ass investment is sitting in your garage, it's sitting in your driveway. It's doing nothing. One of the coolest things about self-driving cars, I think, is that when I'm home and not using my vehicle, I could set it to Uber mode and my car just drives off and makes me money. Like go make me money, go subsidize yourself. Like I always thought when they talk about this in self-driving cars, that was always to me like the most interesting factor. You have cabs on the road that are just on the road 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day. There will never be a shortage. There will never be a slow, period. They're just, it's a kind of like an amazing thing.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see these roll out as quickly as possible. So I think this is an interesting, of course, Amazon owns it, right? And Zooks has already talked about the fact that they are in kind of like development stage of making like delivery vehicles out of this same technology. So I don't know, let's see where it goes, but it's a cool service.
I thought the story with Boston Dynamics was actually a really happy story. We can end the show on this week.
All right. Yeah. We can end the story with Boston Dynamics getting purchased as far as like a controlling stake, not 100% purchase, but Hyundai buys 80% of Boston Dynamics, which is most known for Spot the robot dog, which is like their only like commercial thing that you see them like trying to sell. They do a lot in robotics and they're making a lot of things, but the Spot robot dog is pretty much like, hey, ready to go consumer product at this point. And Hyundai buys it. I don't know why. I don't know what the hell Hyundai plans on doing with Boston Dynamics and what they plan on doing with walking robots and everything else. I don't know what that has to do with a Korean-made car company, but I'm sure they've got a plan.
Yeah, for the tune of $921 million. So for some guys out of Boston making robot dogs and robots jump on boxes and have inspired numerous parody videos that are quite funny.
Yeah.
I just think it's good for them. You know, they've put a lot of time and work into this technology. They've been around for a while now. We've been watching their progress, and they have been doing it right. You know, every iteration of robot they come out with always gets a little bit better, looks, you know, it's more compact. And like you said, they finally were able to take their first product to like market last year. And I watched a few of those videos on the RoboDog with like construction crews using them to haul heavy tools and hold flashlights. And like, I actually watched a video. I was like, huh, maybe I could use a robot dog at work, like, you know, and to see them get a big payday. I'm hoping Hyundai has, you know, intentions of, you know, doing the company justice. But either way, bunch of eggheads from Boston just got rich, and good for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's end it on that happy note there and close out here, because this was a packed episode of a lot of news, and hopefully
we had to cut a couple on the fly.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoyed us bringing you the latest topics here. Hopefully some of it was enlightening. Maybe some of it was, I don't know, infuriating as these two idiots talk about these topics. Come correct us if you think we're off base with some of our speculation here. Join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community, or find us over on Facebook. We've got a private group that continues to be a good place to digitally hang out.
Yeah, a lot of the topics that we talk about on the show often get discussed in groups. So if you actually want to join the conversation, which is partly why we do this show, we want to spark thought into our nerd community and start these conversations. If you'd like to join on some of the massive comment thread subjects that are in that group, please join us. It'll be a good time.
All right. Well, with all that said, that's a week in news. And thanks again. We will talk to you next week.
See you later, nerds.